This is the beginning of class 3.
I didn't do this when the first 20 years of my recognized from my Lama teachings. I have much regret.
So the second one is homework.
I'd say homework first, quiz second.
Oh, you want to know? So we need to know the divider then. We're at a divider
section. No.
We need
four. Where do we put our class notes?
That's up to you. You mean on separate line paper or something like
that? No, which division?
Oh, that's up to you. I'll let you decide that.
You should have been in by a whole bunch. What do you have on
there already? I wouldn't mind if you got. I don't have one in New York.
I don't.
Then you have the root text. Here's what the root text looks like. Short line.
And then it's the pages.
It's about four pages long. Here's it out of order. No, that's fine. Okay. It's actually 5 minutes. I think. And it's And then finally, you have the commentary. Looks like that. That's the orange book. And that thing before it is the bold part of the old orange book. The 14 lines. Let's look through the orange book. See a bold. Yeah.
This is just like a chapter.
That's the name of the book, actually. It says, this is a commentary to the 14th verse. This is Everybody okay?
This is the last one to put, right?
Yeah, that's all. Okay.
Did you stop it? I guess I'm getting darn a stick here.
Okay, please say Shinyin.
Shinyin.
Shua.
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 Yeshua.
Yeshua.
Okay, we're going to talk about today. We're going to start a section which is how to find a teacher, and after you find a teacher, how you should behave towards him. Okay? And that's really the first and it's the most important step you have to take. So we're going to go over the qualities of a good teacher. What kind of things should you look for in a teacher?
One who asks accurate questions.
All right. This is very important. Okay. It's there are many stories of Tibetan Buddhists. There's a famous story of Adisha who brought Buddhism to Tibet. One of the people who brought. He went on a long trip, I don't know if it was 6 months or a year, on a ship to go to Indonesia from India, which was very dangerous at that time, 1000 AD. And when he got there, he found the Lama he was looking for. This is the Lama who was one of the last Lamas in the world who knew how to teach the Bodhisattva Dharma. And he went there just to meet him. And he got there, and he didn't go to his house. He started checking around town. Is this a good teacher? Have you heard anything bad about him? What is he doing? He interviewed all his students. I think for 6 months he didn't. He checked him out for 6 months. Why? A Dharma teacher can really screw you up. All right. If he doesn't know what he's doing, if he's not qualified, he can ruin you not for this life, but for many, many thousands of years, millions of years. He can ruin you. Okay? It's a very, very delicate question who you allow to fool around with your Dharma mind. You shouldn't just go to any initiation you hear about. You shouldn't just go to any teaching you hear about. You should check out the teacher. It's a very, very delicate question. If he teaches you, for example, that something non-virtuous is virtuous, then if you do it, he goes to hell, of course, but you go to hell too. And it hurts a lot. Even in this life, you'll start to get bad results. If he teaches you something wrong, something non-virtuous, or if he teaches you something stupid about emptiness that's not true at all, it'll mess you up very badly. At the best, you just, nothing will happen. And after 10 years, you say, I don't know, I've been going to Dharma class for 10 years, nothing happened. And at the worst, you'll get in big problems. You'll really have big mistakes. And you see it all the time. You see many cases where teachers have taught people that something is virtuous, which is obviously not virtuous, and then they ruin them. So,
Michael?
Yeah?
Don't you really mean a would-be Dharma teacher?
I mean a would-be. I mean a so-called
because
Dharma teacher. Of course.
How could a Dharma teacher hurt anybody?
Of course. Okay, so, we're going to learn tonight the 10 qualifications of a Lama. What should you look for before you go to a Lama? Okay. And the Sakyapandits are one of the wisest Tibetan Buddhists. He lived in the 1200s. He said, you know, it's crazy. You know, if people are going to buy a car, in those days a horse, you know, they check the teeth, they check the legs, they run them around, they go see 25 horses. And then after many weeks, they choose one horse. Because this is all their money that they have. They're putting into this one horse. They buy the horse, and the next day they find out he has a bad leg. They lose all the money they've saved in Tibet for maybe years. Okay, but a bad Dharma teacher could screw you up for your life. It's not just your bank account. It's your mind. It's your soul. Like your spirit. He can mess you up. So you should take a lot more care in choosing a Dharma teacher than you take in anything. Choosing someone that you've had a relationship with, something like that. Nowadays people check out that this guy might have AIDS and this girl might have AIDS. I'm going to check out. You know? AIDS will kill you once. A bad Dharma teacher, so-called Dharma teacher, can kill you many times. Seriously. Very, very dangerous to get into a relationship with someone if they're not qualified. So, what are you going to look for? You know, check the tire, check the carburetor. We'll make a list of 10 things that you should look for. Who wrote this list? It's from the Dodekyen, Suchavakara. Yeah, I believe that's a summary. Hey, like one of the most important early Buddhist saints wrote this. And this is quoted always in lists of what to look for. Suchavakara. The book says 400 verses, I think. No, it does say Suchavakara. Yeah, I mean, if you really want to know, you're not required to know this. That's the Sanskrit. Sutra means sutra, word of the Buddha. Alamkara means to make ready, which is a Sanskrit word for an ornament. Because when you put it on, you're ready to go to the party. You don't have to know that. This quotation comes from that text. That text is in the Tengyur. The point is that it's a very, very old book. It's about 1,500 years old. And it is good. It's a good book. It's right. Sangha knew what he was talking about. Okay? And,
did you see a Sangha wrote it?
Yeah. And this is his verse about the 10 things you should look for in a teacher. What 10 things should you look for in a good teacher? Okay. Check if he's qualified or not. Because you are risking your life. You're putting your life in his hands, basically. He's fooling around with your mind. Okay. If he puts bad ideas into your mind, you will suffer greatly. It's not so bad to learn bad habits, smoking, drinking, that's one thing. But to learn wrong ideas about the world, wrong ideas about your spiritual practice is poison. It's much worse than a bad habit like smoking or drinking or something like that, because it will ruin your life. So, very, very important. Shenyan means spiritual friend, spiritual guide. Shenyan.
Guide or friend or both?
If both of these words are words for relative or close friend, Shen means like a friend, and Nian means a relative. So it means literally your friend, meaning your Dharma friend, meaning your teacher. It's the person who you're entrusting your mind to. Shen Yin. Zhuluwa. Zhuluwa is the past tense of a verb that means to tame something. Like, Zhuluwa is what you do to a wild horse during a rodeo. He starts out crazy, and you get on him, and you beat him, and you beat him, and finally he's friendly.
Subdue?
You can decide.
But it's subduer or subdued?
No, finished. Tamed.
Subdued. Subdued.
Controlled. The noun, Dhuva, means Vinaya. That is the whole part of the Buddhist books which teach about morality, the vows of morality. In Thailand, it's Vinaya. Okay? Vinaya. In Thailand, you have Vinaya and you have Abhidhamma. You have those two traditions. You have Hinayana country, and you have very strong. You have those two. In your canon is 45 books, and you still have the Vinaya, and you still have the Abhidhamma. This is the word. It means how to get tamed, how to get controlled. Morality. Okay? Shiva. Shiva means, do you know? Shiva. Do you know Shiva? Do you know Shine? Somebody was telling me this.
Translating.
You were studying this is the Shi of Shine. This Shi means peace. Peace. There's another Shi that means to kill, to die. And they're related. That's the peace, right? No, they're related. After you Shi, you Shi. Shiwa. Nyan Shiwa means really peaceful.
Is Shiva peace or is she peace?
Shiva is peace. Shiva is peace. Near Shiva means very peace. This is an advertisement for this computer project. This verse doesn't tell you much. Okay, you have to be peaceful, very peaceful, control. What does it refer to? So I just look it up. I have 40,000 pages in here. I just say, okay, that verse, does anyone discuss that verse? It went right to the Lam Rim Chenmo of Tsongkhapa. And he's explaining the whole verse. Incredible explanation. So great, you know. I don't have to go, we used to have to go flip through like thousands of pages. We used to spend weeks looking for one quotation, you know. Now I just ask it. It just asked it in about 30 seconds. It came up. Here's a nice explanation by Tsongkhapa. So I can basically carry around the Kangen and Tengu. It all is an explanation. So we'll go through Tsongkhapa's explanation. He says, if you haven't dhuwa yourself, it would be crazy to say that you could dhuwa anyone else. And therefore...
Tsongkhapa commenting on this verse?
Yeah, Tsongkhapa is explaining this very verse.
Commentary on this verse.
Yes. Tsongkhapa,
so it's a sangha being commented on by
Tsongkhapa. In the Lam Rim Chenmo, the greatest, maybe the greatest Tibetan book ever written. And he says, how could anyone dhuwa someone else if they didn't dhuwa themselves first? And he says, therefore, you should seek a lama who has dhuwa himself. And if you ask me, this is all straight translation from Tsongkhapa. If you ask me, how does somebody dhuwa himself, it's not enough to say that he's just done anything at all to become Dhuwa. It's that he has used the three trainings to become Dhuwa. And this Dhuwa This one refers to the first training. Okay? This doula refers to the first of the three famous trainings. There are three famous trainings. We call Lavasun. Okay? The first one is morality. Morality. Which is basically what? What's the roughest collection of Buddhist morality ever collected? The calendar right there. Okay? There are 84,000 bad deeds that you can do. They collected them down into 10, because we can't remember so many. Okay? So basically, someone who is keeping his morality. So first of all, if you're thinking about going to hear a lama, if you're thinking about starting a relationship with a lama, find out if he's keeping his morality. Okay? And there's the 10 moralities right
there.
Exception
on morality.
Yeah, right.
Trainings.
Yeah. So the first word here, the first of the 10 qualities, which means subdued, tamed, refers to the first of the three trainings, which is morality. It keeps his morality low.
How does this relate to the crazy wisdom of school with the Dharma teacher? There's not an apparent tame behavior.
It's possible that a lama could do something extraordinary to help you, but you also have to be an extraordinary student to see it and not lose your faith and not commit a big bad deed. So better, we're normal people. We're not like Milarepa or somebody like that. I mean, we have to find a teacher who's got these 10 qualities. That's a normal thing. If you have some extraordinary virtue in your past, and you meet some extraordinary teacher who can read your mind, it's true, and it has happened, that he smashes you in the head and, you know, you realize he's a great lama and he's trying to help you. But we don't have this kind of virtue. We are not those kind of special people. And we might as well admit it. Find a plain old straight lama who has these
qualities. So what does that mean for all those lamas that are teaching that way and all those students that are following?
Can I say something? I would assume that it's there. It's just that it's different.
By the way, we'll get
you can't see it.
We'll talk about it.
It must be there still. It just isn't as clear and straightforward. It's just easy to express lunkheads, you know, but it would just be being displayed in a different
fashion. And they set up things that they said.
That's why it's all crazy.
It'll come. It's a valid question. It's a good question.
Well, I think the question is, he's saying, can it be that some teachers don't have this? I doubt it. If they appear to be crazy, they would still have it.
That's true, too. I mean, they might. What it says is true that they do have morality and they pretend not to have morality. But that's, I don't want to get into that question. It will come. It will come in tonight or next week. Probably. It doesn't just bring it up again. Okay, dua means someone who's keeping the ten moralities. Plain old ten moralities. It's the plain old ten moralities that make tantra work. It's the plain old ten moralities that make a Buddha. It's the plain old ten moralities that give you all the beautiful results that you ever wanted. Okay. Not very popular to say that, but it's true. And it just makes you happy. And you just keep it. Okay, dua. Shiva. So Shiva refers obviously to the second of the training.
Let's see what he says.